when I was young and my dad served as rector of the only Episcopal church in town, he actually got together with the local Methodist pastor and started a radio show on WMBS, little AM radio station in downtown Uniontown. And the show was called Person to Parson. I really thought they were quite clever about that. And it was on Sunday evenings. And I called one Sunday. It was a call-in show where people could call in and ask questions. And I had been required to mow the lawn on Sunday. I thought that was terribly unfair. Mind you, mowing the lawn was my duty, and I was supposed to do it on Saturday. But I hadn't got around to it, so I had to do it on Sunday. And I posed that question, and I thought I had him and his buddy busted. I can't remember what they said, but I'm sure they weren't busted. I'm sure I'm the one that was busted in the whole story. But what does it mean to observe the Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath? Is it just about not mowing the lawn on Sunday? Is it just about showing up for church on Sunday? Why did keeping the Sabbath make it all the way up into the Ten Commandments? This wasn't just some little peripheral thing. Why was keeping the Sabbath that important? And what was God trying to accomplish in giving the command to keep the Sabbath? There are actually two records of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Exodus 20, which is one we normally hear, and then Deuteronomy 5, which we hear a little bit less often. But they both emphasize one thing about keeping the Sabbath, that it is to be a day of rest. 6 days you shall do all your work, and then on the seventh day you shall rest. You and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants and your livestock, and the alien in your land, everybody gets a rest on the Sabbath. Now remember the timing when the people of Israel received the Ten Commandments. They were on their way from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. And at Mount Sinai, God gave the people the Ten Commandments, including the command to keep the Sabbath. And Deuteronomy specifically reminds us that the people were slaves in Egypt. And now they are to make sure, because remember, slaves don't get a day off, right? There's no Sabbath for a slave. But now you are to be God's people. And so you are to take a day of rest. And not only are you to take a day of rest, but you are to make sure that everybody around you gets a day of rest as well. Even your animals get a day of rest. Really, the command to keep the Sabbath was the first labor law. Everybody gets a day off, right? There's nothing in the Ten Commandments about going to synagogue on the Sabbath, or going to temple on the Sabbath, or going to church on the Sabbath. It's about taking a day of rest, doing your work on the 6 days, and then on the seventh, we are to rest. So we begin to see that what God is concerned about is that pattern, that cycle of work and rest. Both are necessary for a healthy, godly life. But the cycle is necessary. And then we come to the two incidents that are recorded for us in today's gospel reading from Mark. Two times when Jesus challenged the assumptions about the Sabbath among the leadership of the day. In the first one, the disciples were just walking through a field and they grabbed a little head of grain and chew on it as they were walking. They just wanted a snack. And they were criticized for that because the Sabbath rules were so strict that the pluck ahead of grain counted as harvesting. And harvesting was work, and you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. And then we're told of an incident when Jesus was in a synagogue, and there was a man in the synagogue with a withered hand. that they were more concerned about busting Jesus than about getting the guy healed who had the withered hand. That's a separate issue. But sure enough, Jesus saw what was going on, and he said to the man, "Reach out your hand." And the man did, and his hand was healed. Because as Jesus reminded them, the Sabbath, humankind was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for humankind. Now what that means is that God didn't come up with the idea of the Sabbath as a day specially devoted to him to get some attention, and then he made us in order to have some people to obey the Sabbath. That's not what happened. Rather, God created us and saw, hey, these guys need a Sabbath. They need a day to rest. And so he made the Sabbath rule to serve us. It was not simply a day for us to have to obey a different set of rules. It was a day created to meet our need. Our need for that cycle of work and rest. And to be able to take that rest. Now, Jesus challenged the rules of the Sabbath, but remember, he kept the Sabbath. Jesus never just blew off the Sabbath. He just turned on its head the reason for the Sabbath. It is for our healthy life as disciples and followers of God. It was not simply to follow a set of rules. So, how are we to actually, in practical terms, observe the Sabbath today? What does that mean for us? Well, the first thing, I think, is that we are to rest from the labors of the other 6 days of the week. We need to take a break from doing the same things. When I see somebody, some workaholic, who's in the office 7 days a week, there's something dramatically unhealthy about that. Now, and we need to conduct ourselves in such a way that we allow others to rest as well. Now, I don't think we need to get caught up in the particular day of the week. I was shocked, actually, when I was prowling around online about for some stuff about the Sabbath, how many debates there are about whether we should consider Sunday the Sabbath or Saturday the Sabbath. I really don't think God cares. I think what is of concern is that we build into our lives and make possible in the lives of others that pattern of rest. Now, in saying that, I understand that there are challenges in some of us things. For instance, some of us are the primary caregiver for some loved one, and that care needs to be given 24/7. There's not a Sabbath for them. I would actually challenge us as a church family that when we see those needs, perhaps we should work to be deliberate about trying to offer little bits of Sabbath to those who are in situations where they are that kind of 24/7 caregiver, so that we can be a part of helping and serving others. Some people have to work on Sundays. I work Sundays. You know, I mean, I don't say this to complain, but I'm working. You know, this isn't restful for me. My Sabbath starts when I get home and take my nap. That's when my Sabbath begins. And that's okay. That's fine. And there are professions that require people to work on Sundays. Both my kids are in the medical field. And they have to work Sundays sometimes. That's okay. God isn't concerned about a particular day, but about managing your life in such a way that you can take the rest that you need so that you are able to be a more effective disciple on those other days. Now, there is a certain convenience culturally to agreeing together that this is kind of a Sabbath day, you know? And we've kind of overcome that a bit. When I was a kid, virtually every store in town was closed on Sunday. There might be one pharmacy that would be open in case of some kind of emergency. And actually, the pharmacy democracies in the town that I grew up in agreed together that they would take turns being open on Sunday so that there would be a pharmacy available that they could still get their Sabbath rest. There were no sports teams on Sundays. Sunday afternoon was not spent on the soccer field. Sunday afternoon was spent in church and with family. Now that's largely gone away. Our schedules are now full up on Sundays like they are the rest of the days. Maybe the stores don't open until 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, because most of the stores still open, you know. So all of that stuff continues to happen. And we lose something here, but that makes it more of our personal responsibility to make sure that we each find a way to keep that Sabbath in our own lives. Remember, Jesus still healed on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day to take a break from our rest. And if we have the opportunity to offer some service. And the second thing is really just these two things. To make sure we have that cycle of work and rest in our lives. And the second thing is to keep it holy. Now remember, the root of the word holy is not pure. The root idea of the word holy is to be set apart for divine purpose. Set apart for godly use. So it's not that we are to keep it perfectly pure. That's not the requirement. But rather that we are to set this day aside for divine purpose. Here's what happens to us, and we all know this. 7 days a week, we're going to work, we're doing the things we need to do, taking care of our stuff, you know, doing the laundry, cleaning up, whatever, mowing the lawn, whatever needs to be done, all of those things that come upon us. And if we are not deliberate and intentional about taking some time to reset ourselves, to reorient ourselves to God, then we're just going to end up all caught up in all of that stuff, in that endless cycle of task and doing. And so we need to be deliberate about saying, no, I'm going to set this bit of time aside to reorient my attention to God, to reset my soul before God. And I would suggest that it's best if we do that as a group. We all need that bit of reset. Now, can you worship on the golf course? Yeah, sure. The question is, will you? And I would submit that the answer to that question is no. What you will do more of is curse the little white ball. Can you worship down at the beach, looking at the beauty of the ocean and the sand and the waves and the sea and the sun? Sure. Will you? Probably not. The truth is, we are human beings. And as human beings, we need companionship. We need to be reminded that we are on the road together. That we are not alone in this journey. And we need that in our walk with God. We need to gather together so that we remind one another and encourage one another and cajole one another in that resetting of our attention in God's direction. And corporate worship is a great way to do that. Is God sitting up there taking a sentence? No. Remember, worship was invented not because God, it's like the Sabbath. Worship was not invented by God because he wanted attention. Worship was invented by God because he knew that we need it. We need that time to deliberately turn away from all the stuff of this life and to turn our attention back to God. Okay? God didn't need attention. We need the time to turn from all the stuff of this life. So my practical advice on keeping the Sabbath is fairly simple. Set aside a day that changes your routine. Now, sure, there's still going to be some stuff to do. There's going to be some food that we're prepared, it's going to be some dishes, some lodge, you know. I know stuff like that comes in, and we have to do that. But break the routine and find ways in the pattern of your life and the needs of your life to have that rest. Now, whether it's a straight 24 hours on a Sunday of every week, you know, that varies based on the specifics of our life. And secondly, gather together with others for worship. We need that. We need the companionship, we need the fellowship. We need to have our attention turned again. And engage ourselves on that Sabbath in things that turn us to God, turn us to love and service to those who are around us. And I think God will be pleased with that Sabbath.